Ready or Not, 1939 to 1941, by Eric Hamill, from the December 2016 issue of Leatherneck Magazine, as read by Nicholas Wilson. At the start of the war in Europe in September 1939, the strength of the Marine Corps stood beneath 20,000 officers and men, of which the Fleet Marine Force, ground and air, counted fewer than 5,000. The FMF ground component consisted of two units, grandiloquently designated 1st and 2nd Marine Brigades, each bolstered by a nascent Marine aircraft group, plus one scouting squadron based in the Virgin Islands. The 1st Provisional Marine Brigade and Marine Aircraft Group 1 were stationed at Quantico, Virginia. The 2nd Provisional Marine Brigade and MAG 2 were based in the San Diego area. Things could only get better. In the face of possible war, strongly bolstered by the unseemly rapid fall of France in June 1940, the American military arms were given permission and money to grow and modernize as rapidly as possible. Thus, even though it received less attention and money than the senior services, the total strength of the Marine Corps on December 7, 1941, hovered above 60,000 officers and men. The two brigades were expanded to two divisions, modeled on the U.S. Army Triangular Infantry Divisions, and the two fledgling air groups had been redesignated as Marine Aircraft Wings. A total FMF strength on November 30, 1941, of nearly 30,000. Of which nearly 3,000 were aviators or aviation ground and administrative personnel. This was barely enough troops to fill a real infantry division and man a few air groups. But the call to the colors after December 7th and the enormous flow of funds led to an unprecedented expansion that resulted in the deployment of two reinforced divisions and an effectively complete air wing, along with numerous independent combat battalions to the Pacific by late 1942. Harkening back to the advance-based concept that had led to the formation of the FMF, the Marine Corps stood up four defense battalions in 1940. These units were built for coastal and anti-aircraft defense of U.S. possessions in the Pacific athwart the presumed war zone, Hawaii, Wake Island, Midway Island, Johnson Island, and Palmyra Island. Marines also shouldered their traditional role in the form of detachments aboard a growing number of capital ships, battleships, cruisers, and aircraft carriers, as well as guard and military police units and detachments at a growing number of Marine and Naval base facilities. The total involvement of the FMF in the Pacific was not foreseen before the United States was drawn into the war, hence the basing of a full division and aircraft wing on the East Coast. Ultimately, at Camp Lejeune and Cherry Point in North Carolina, respectively. Marine security detachments ended up in strategic U.S. and British possessions in the Caribbean, as well as Bermuda and Newfoundland. There was even a plan afoot in 1940 and 1941 to send Marines and U.S. Army troops to the Azores to keep the islands out of German hands. The biggest single pre-war job that Marines tackled in the direction of Europe was the dispatch of a reinforced Marine brigade built around the 6th Marine Regiment and the 5th Defense Battalion to Iceland in mid-1941. The politics of the move are Byzantine, so suffice to say that the United States meant to send Germany a clear message that the Monroe Doctrine remained a living instrument. British units also served in Iceland, presenting the first opportunity for troops of the two future allies to work together against Germany. The formal alliance was cemented when the United States formally entered the European War on December 10, 1941. On November 30, 1941, the total strength of the Marine Corps stood at just under 66,000 officers and enlisted men. Of these, just over 26,000 manned non-FMF billets in the United States at five major bases, 43 posts and stations, headquarters, and four recruiting districts. Nearly 13,000 Marines manned 68 shipboard detachments, 24 overseas posts, and stations in three non-FMF tactical units. The 4th Marines, moving from China to Luzon, 801 officers and men. The 1st Separate Marine Battalion in the Philippines, 725. And the 1st Marine Brigade in Iceland, 3,972. FMF units and detachments in the continental United States stood as follows. 1st Marine Division, 8,918, less than half authorized strength. 2nd Marine Division, less 2nd Marine Brigade, 7,540. 1st Marine Aircraft Wing, 1,301, 2nd Marine Aircraft Wing, 682, 2nd Defense Battalion, 865, Miscellaneous Units and Detachments, 633. Overseas, the Marine Corps fielded 5,621 troops as follows. 5 Defense Battalions in the Pacific, 4,399, elements of the 2nd Marine Aircraft Wing in the Pacific, 733, and elements of the 2nd Marine Division in Hawaii, 489. The numbers above hardly constitute a war footing, but the foundation had certainly been built, the framework was in, and buildup was progressing with all due haste. Stated in rudimentary terms, it was the strategy of both the United States and Japan to advance their respective battle fleets across the Pacific, meet somewhere near the middle, and conduct a decisive surface battle that would, in one fell swoop, determine the outcome. To bolster their plans, both sides sought bases from which the fleet advances could be supported. And, as Marine Capital Earl Pete Ellis had prophesied in 1913, each side laid in plans to deny the other the advantages of those bases, and indeed to seize whatever they could. In the year or two before the onset of the war, as tensions rose, both future combatants sought new bases and built up older ones. In the case of the United States, the tiny atolls at Wake, Midway, Johnson, and Palmyra were built up. Their anchorages were improved and airfields were built or improved. The key feature of any of these tiny atolls was that they could more or less support one another from the air with aircraft of the day. Naturally, older, larger holdings were beefed up, the Philippines and American Samoa, but not Guam, which was very close to the large Japanese base at Saipan, and thus had to be conceded in the short term. Naval and Marine forces in the various smaller holdings were bolstered by civilian contracting firms and undertook most of the construction work. The bases were small, far from liberty ports, and generally abysmal in amenities. Thus, through 1940 and 1941, military units rotated in and out to maintain the sanity and esprit of the troops. On the eve of war, the Pacific Island detachments were arrayed thusly. Pearl Harbor, 1st Defense Battalion, 261 officers and men. 3rd Defense Battalion, 863. 4th Defense Battalion, 818. And 6th Defense Battalion, 21. Johnston, 1st Defense Battalion, 162. Palmyra, 1st Defense Battalion, 158. Midway, 6th Defense Battalion, 843. Wake, 1st Defense Battalion, 424. In addition to infantry weapons, coastal and anti-aircraft guns were 7-inch, 3 at Midway only, 5-inch dual-purpose anti-boat anti-aircraft, 6 at Midway, 2 at Johnston, 4 at Palmyra, and 6 at Wake, 3-inch dual-purpose, 12 at Midway, 4 at Johnston, 4 at Palmyra, 12 at Wake, 50 caliber, 30 at Midway, 8 at Johnston, 8 at Palmyra, and 12 at Wake, and 30 caliber, 30 at Midway, 8 at Johnston, 8 at Palmyra, and 30 at Wake. A perusal of all the numbers reveals something about the way resource-strapped senior commanders weighed the relative usefulness and survival probabilities of each base. In addition, the 7th Defense Battalion was deployed to American Samoa beginning in December 1940. There it manned 4 6-inch naval guns, 6 3-inch anti-aircraft guns, and a number of lighter anti-aircraft weapons. It also oversaw the stand-up and training of 1st Samoan Battalion, Marine Corps Reserve, a unit that never reached its authorized strength of 500 because military-aged men were needed to construct defenses, including a major airbase at Tutuila. Marine tactical aviation units were slow to reach the Pacific bases, and in fact, Johnston, Palmyra, and Midway had no aircraft on hand until after the onset of hostilities. A detachment of 12 Grumman F4F Wildcat fighters from Marine Fighting Squadron 211 arrived at Wake on the eve of war. Otherwise, the only Marine Tactical Aviation units based at Ua Field, Oahu, Marine Air Group 21, headquartered in Service Squadron, Marine Scout Bomber Squadron 232, Marine Utility Squadron 252, and the VMF 211 Rear Echelon. In addition to defense battalions and aviation units, the Marine garrison in Hawaii consisted of the headquarters and two companies of the 2nd Engineer Battalion, which were building an amphibious training base on Oahu for their parent 2nd Marine Division, 485 troops based at the Marine Barracks, Pearl Harbor Navy Yard, 102 based at the Marine Barracks, Fort Island Naval Air Station. 169 Marines guarding the Naval Ammunition Depot north of Honolulu. And 877 officers and enlisted men serving aboard battleships and cruisers based at Pearl Harbor. The number of Marines at Pearl Harbor on the morning of December 7, 1941 totaled more than 4,500. The United States Marine Corps was about to be plunged into the World War. It was about to suffer its first casualties, record its first victories, such as they were, and experience its first defeats. Author's bio. Eric Hamill is a military historian who has written dozens of books on Marine Corps history, including Chosen, Heroic Ordeal of the Korean War, Guadalcanal, Starvation Island, and Islands of Hell, The U.S. Marines in Western Pacific, 1944 to 1945. Ready or Not, 1939 and 1941 was an excerpt from Eric Hamill's book, Coral and Blood, The U.S. Marine Corps Pacific Campaign.